satu malam yang biru tanpa dirimu, berjuta-juta rindu ku padamu. Sendiriku pun harus menikmati nyanyian sang rembulan, engkau yang seharusnya di sisiku, engkau yang selalu ada di hayatku. Semoga kau mendengar lagu ini yang ku cipta untukmu, oh kasihku. Ini laguku hanya untuk dirimu, tanda cintaku padamu, oh sayang. Harusnya di sisiku, engkau yang selalu ada di hayatku. Semoga kau mendengar lagu ini yang ku cipta untukmu, oh kasihku.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id. And RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, here is highlight of the week, presenting you what is happening in Indonesia this week with me, Steve. You can listen to this broadcast on voanews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and the frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. These are the top stories. President Prabowo inaugurates the largest battery project in Southeast Asia. RRI becomes Secretariat for Asia-Pacific Environmental Media. And here is highlight of the week. President Prabowo Subianto on Sunday inaugurated the groundbreaking of the Integrated Electric Vehicle Battery Industry Ecosystem in Karawang, West Java Province. In his remarks, he said, "The development of the industry ecosystem is a real step in realizing the ideal of Indonesian nation." According to him, the idea of downstreaming is not new, but a long mandate from Indonesian history. The project, which is said the largest in Southeast Asia, is proof of Indonesia's seriousness in promoting environmentally friendly energy.
Hilirisasi akan jalan terus, momentum akan kita percepat, kita mau bergerak cepat, rakyat menuntut, mengharapkan kemajuan cepat. Saya terima kasih tim saya.
Downstreaming will continue. We will accelerate the momentum. We want to move quickly. The people demand and expect fast progress. I thank my team, my cabinet, all work well, work quickly. Those who can't join will be left on the side of the road. Thank you all, and by saying Bismillahirrahmanirrahim this afternoon, Sunday, June 29, 2025, I, Prabowo Subianto, President of the Republic of Indonesia, proudly inaugurate the groundbreaking of the Integrated Electric Vehicle Battery Industry Ecosystem Consortium Antam Indonesia, Battery Corporation and CBL Contemporary Brown Legend. Thank you. Hereby, I declare it started.
Terima kasih. Dengan demikian, saya nyatakan dimulai.
Quoted from the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources page, the Integrated Electric Battery Industry Ecosystem Project, which is the Antam IBC CBL Consortium, is the first integrated nickel-based battery ecosystem in the world and the largest one in Southeast Asia. The ecosystem includes nickel mining in East Halmahera to electric vehicle battery production in Karawang. It is projected to be able to supply batteries for 300,000 vehicles, which can reduce fuel imports by 300,000 kiloliters per year. Indonesia's state-owned radio, Radio Republik Indonesia or RRI, and the United Nations University Institute for Water, Environment and Health signed a Memorandum of Understanding in Jakarta on Monday. Full detail by Desi Anugranov.
Indonesia's state-owned Radio Republik Indonesia and United Nations University Institute for Water, Environment and Health signed a Memorandum of Understanding in Jakarta on Monday to strengthen the role of media in addressing water security, environmental issues, and public health in the Asia-Pacific region. President Director of RRI, Hendra Smu, stated that this collaboration is a concrete step to improve the quality of human resources and raise awareness of global issues, especially those related to water, the environment and health.
This international cooperation that we plan aims at especially strengthening the quality of human resources, as we recognize that human resources quality is the fundamental capital for institutions like us, RRI, to cope with the changing situation, that so-called disruption, which demand ability to adapt the situation.
Hendra Smu added that RRI will serve as a center for environmental media activities and development in the Asia-Pacific region, in line with President Prabowo's vision of maintaining harmony with the environment. Meanwhile, the UN University Institute for Water, Environment and Health Director Professor Kaveh Madani emphasized that this collaboration is a strategic step to expand the reach of critical issues that have long been underrepresented in public discourse.
It's a privilege and honor to be here to celebrate a milestone in our journey together with the media to raise the profile of environment, water, and health and climate change, because we know that the world needs to know about these problems more than what it knows now.
Madani highlighted that shifting the narrative and increasing public awareness can help promote sustainable peace and support a more equitable multilateral development.
6 months of free nutritious meal programs reaches 5.5 million beneficiaries. More detail by Ofra.
The Indonesian National Nutrition Agency held a press conference on 6 month reflections on the free nutritious meals program as a form of transparency and accountability in the implementation of this national program on Sunday in Jakarta. It aimed to present the program's progress and field challenges in the efforts to build a healthy, intelligent, and competitive generation through well-targeted nutritional interventions. In his statement, the agency spokesperson Reddy Hendra Gunawan said the free nutritious meals program has reached more than 5 million beneficiaries.
The number of nutritional fulfillment service units currently operating throughout Indonesia has reached 1,861,000. These units serve a total of 5,582,470 beneficiaries. Over the past 7 days, the program has added 373,531 new beneficiaries.
Reddy Gunawan further explained that the program targets a wide range of groups, including toddlers, children in early childhood education, elementary up to senior high school students, as well as pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers. In the near future, the number of the nutritional fulfillment service unit and beneficiaries will continue to be increased. The free nutritious meals program also emphasized the role of the local economy by involving thousands of businesses as suppliers of raw materials, along with thousands of field personnel who support daily operations.
President Prabowo Subianto expressed his appreciation to the Indonesian National Police during the 79th Police Day commemoration. And here is full report by Desi Anugranov.
President Prabowo Subianto, during his speech at the 79th Bayangkara Day commemoration ceremony held at Monas, Jakarta on Tuesday, 1st July, acknowledge the police force for taking an active role in boosting the nation's food production. According to Prabowo, the police have worked honestly and directly and get with the community.
Saya menyampaikan khususnya pada hari ini penghargaan saya.
Today I would especially like to express my appreciation to the leadership of the National Police, particularly the Chief of Police and his leadership team. I see that the police are now demonstrating commendable achievement.
President Prabowo further stated that Indonesia is on the brink of a great national revival. Therefore, he emphasized the police must become a frontline force in protecting the country's wealth. On this occasion, he also expressed his appreciation for the police role in maintaining stability and security, which has allowed the nation to carry out major development agendas.
Indonesian Ministry of Culture appreciates 70s music. More detail by Ofra.
Indonesian Ministry of Culture held a 1970s theme music concert titled Harmony of the Era in Jakarta on Monday. In his remarks, Minister of Culture Fadlizon said that the event served as a platform to appreciate musicians who have contributed to the development of Indonesian music.
This event also serves as a link between generations, past, present, and future. Their songs are believed to have deeply shaped their era and remain highly relevant today. These works are seen as cultural treasures, an important asset for us, and a great honor for our musical legends who are truly appreciated.
Furthermore, Minister Fadlizon emphasized that music plays an important role in advancing national culture. He noted that the newly established Ministry of Culture, for the first time since Indonesia's independence 79 years ago, carries a major responsibility to elevate various aspects of culture, including music, film, and other cultural expressions. During the event, he also expressed his appreciations to legendary musicians who have contributed significantly to Indonesian music, such as Panbers, Black Selections, The Rollies, and The Mercy Bands.
Indonesia's Ministry of Health and Higher Education signed joint committee to improve education and health services. Desi Anugranov has more detail.
The Indonesian government has formed a joint committee between the Ministry of Higher Education, Science and Technology and the Ministry of Health. This committee aims to strengthen health education and improve public health services. Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology Brian Yuliarto explained the role of this committee on Monday.
Together, we can orchestrate and collaborate to deliver meaningful outcomes from universities for the benefit of the nation. Let us reduce sectoral egos, reflect and evaluate, including through policy deregulations that can accelerate the formation of much-needed resources.
He added the committee will support better access to education, quality research, and stronger health services. In the meantime, Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin highlighted three big health challenges: access, quality, and affordability. He said access is the most urgent problem for the people.
We must ensure that healthcare prices are affordable. Good access, good quality, and reasonable costs, these are what people expect. That's why we are working on improvements one step at a time.
The Indonesian government plans to equip 514 districts and cities with modern medical tools such as CT scans. This effort is to ensure fair, equal, and affordable health services across Indonesia. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia becomes one of Southeast Asia's top exporters to the United States. More detail by Andy.
Indonesia is now the fifth largest supplier of goods to the U.S. in Southeast Asia. Deputy Minister of Industry Faisal Riza said Indonesia makes up about 1% of all U.S. imports. At a meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday, Faisal said Indonesia's exports to the U.S. top $2 billion. That's around 10% of Indonesia's total exports.
Posisi Indonesia sebagai negara pemasok produk ke
Indonesia's role as a supplier to the U.S. is growing. It ranks fifth among Southeast Asian exporters to the U.S. with about 1% of total U.S. imports. Faisal added that U.S. is Indonesia's most important trade partner. In April 2025, trade with the U.S. gave Indonesia its biggest trade surplus, worth over $1 billion. This success comes mainly from manufacturing. Manufacturing makes up almost 80% of Indonesia's non-oil exports.
To boost oil output, Indonesia's Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources issues new oil and gas partnership rule. More detail by Ofra.
The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources has issued Regulation Number 14 of 2025. This rule allows joint management of parts of oil and gas working areas. It aims to help increase national oil and gas productions. In a press conference on Tuesday, Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Yuliot explained the policy. He said local communities can join in managing community-based oil wells. This will be done through cooperations with regional governments-owned enterprises, cooperatives, or small and medium enterprises.
Jadi dengan adanya peraturan Menteri SDM nomor 14
with tahun 2025 ini, ministerial regulation, we will grant business permits to local, small, and medium enterprises. We will help local communities from cooperatives or small enterprises to manage their oil wells. We also encourage regional enterprises to coordinate these oil well operations.
Yuliot also explained other partnerships are covered by the new regulations. Contractors of corporations contracts can work with partners on operations or technology. For oil well corporations, partners will receive 70% of the Indonesian crude price. For field or structure corporation, partners will receive 85% of the contractors of corporations contract profit share. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that's highlight of the week.
Falling in love. And I think it's so much, but just one thing is only you. But I just say we're falling in love.
Now, here is the VOI talk about Hajj Pilgrim Service Policy by the government, with the Director General of Hajj and Umrah, Indonesia's Ministry of Religious Affairs, Hilman Latif.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, every year, millions of Muslims travel to Saudi Arabia for the Hajj. And as the world's largest Muslim majority country, Indonesia sends more pilgrims more than any other nation. But behind this spiritual journey is a huge responsibility managed by the Ministry of Religious Affairs. And we know that the 2025 Hajj has brought new changes from the Saudi Arabia government, and private companies now play a larger role in serving pilgrims. And the climate and health risks are growing. Then at the same time, Indonesia must support pilgrims who travel from distant islands and rural regions. Well, President Prabowo Subianto has also made the Hajj a focus of diplomacy in his recent visit to the Middle East. And then all of these raises important questions. How is Indonesia adjusting to these new realities? And what role does diplomacy play in protecting the rights and well-being of Indonesian pilgrims? To help us understand the picture here, we have been connected with Director General of Hajj and Umrah at Indonesia's Ministry of Religious Affairs, Bapak Hilman Latif. Assalamualaikum, Pak Hilman.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
How are you today, Pak Hilman?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Pak Hilman. It's me, Faisal, at the studio of Voice of Indonesia.
Okay, Pak Faisal, thank you.
Thank you, Pak Hilman. Actually, because of this, we believe that in your busy activities, you are still able to join our special interview today. Well, Pak Hilman, before that, we have already introduced about the implementation of Hajj 2025, but we know that there are many challenges. There have been many challenges that have been faced by the government, in this case from Religious Affairs of Ministry. So, according to you, Pak Hilman, what were the biggest challenges during this year's Hajj?
Thank you, Pak Faisal. Thank you very much for this opportunity representing the Ministry of Religious Affairs. I have an opportunity to share my views about Hajj, including the current operation of Hajj 2025. It's very honored for me to be part of the your talk show program today. First of all, Hajj is about religious rituals, of course, that millions of Indonesians want to participate. And therefore, we have a very long waiting list for Indonesians, and they should patiently wait for 20 or 30 years before they obtain an opportunity to perform Hajj. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, there is a limit of quota provided by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for every country, especially Muslim countries. Mm-hmm. And in Indonesia, in particular, until now, usually receive Hajj quota about 221,000 pilgrims. So that is a huge delegation, and this is one of the big challenges that we face. Okay, and the second challenge that we face is about the time constraints in preparing Hajj operations, ranging from validating the potential pilgrim spread over 500 districts and cities in more than 30 provinces. And as we have known that we have seen diverse cultural backgrounds, language barriers, the increase in numbers of elderly, health issues and economic conditions of the pilgrims, not to mention the diversity in education level, as well as personal experience of the pilgrims. Pilgrims experience the first departure overseas, right? And of course, a lot of things that we have to introduce to the pilgrims. Annually, these factors contribute to the complexities of health management in Indonesia. As we know that in the past 3 years, for example,
yes,
we have witnessed about 25,000 until 30,000 Indonesians who were not able to afford health costs.
Yes.
Okay. And therefore, the Ministry of Religious Affairs should invite 20% other potential pilgrims to fulfill the quota. Likewise, in the past 2 years, thousands of Indonesians could not pass health exam. And therefore, according to the Ministry of Health, they are not eligible to perform health. So this kind of situations also become our challenge. We need at least 6 months to accomplish those processes, okay, such as the validations, data validation of the pilgrims, payment of Hajj calls, health examinations, flight contract, as well as preparations of provisions for the pilgrims overseas, such as accommodations or hotels, caterings or meals and transportation. And the third major challenge, according to my experience, is, of course, about ground services or ground service management overseas in Saudi. You can imagine we have to manage and facilitate as well as serve more than 200,000 people from different regions of Indonesia to stay at least 40 days in other countries. Okay. And the challenge that I mean here is to an extent we could provide a similar quality of services.
Okay.
Very often difficulties emerge on the ground, right? Here and there that we should manage, including we have to be ready to answer, to face a new regulations, issues, issued by the Saudi government. So that is the situation that we face, okay. Pak Faisal.
So Pak Hilman, it seems that every year Saudi Arabian government has its own maybe different regulation maybe. So how does the Ministry of Religion prepare to meet these changes quickly and effectively, Pak Hilman?
Yes, that's right, Pak Faisal. I have witnessed 4 consecutive Hajj seasons. Okay, since 2022, in the aftermath of COVID-19 pandemic,
yes,
until the last session in 2025, the regulation has changed over time, and every year I saw a different regulations applied and introduced by the Saudi government. It seems to me that the Saudi government, representing or represented by the Ministry of Hajj and Umrah of the Saudi Kingdom, wants to increase the quality of services for the pilgrims. This is in line with the Saudis' effort to face what they call the Saudi Vision 2030, when hospitality, economic transformations becomes their objective.
Yes.
Right? Hajj regulations, in fact, become increasingly tough and rigid at the same time, relied on the very firm digitalized database. And therefore, it becomes less flexible.
Yes.
On the other hand, in Indonesia, the culture of flexibility remains overwhelming. You can imagine, on the one hand, the system is very rigid, very systematic, digitalized, you know, based on the fixed database. On the other hand, our culture is, you know, very flexible.
Yes.
Okay. And right now, I'm glad that the government, under the President Prabowo Subianto, as well as the current parliament members, have taken a brilliant initiative.
Yes.
To revise Hajj Regulation Number 8, year 2009, to be more adaptive and or adaptable to the new development in Saudi Arabia. So the revisions of the regulations will lead to a new patterns of Indonesian Hajj management.
Okay. Hilman, we know that Indonesian pilgrims come from many thousand islands in Indonesia and even from many rural areas. So what kind of support that the Ministry of Religion provide for these groups before and during the Hajj?
Yes, alhamdulillah, until now we have been supported by different supporting groups to deal with the diversity of the pilgrims. First, for example, our effort is to invite the Hajj mission members and the staff from different regions. So every province propose staffs to be part of the Indonesian Hajj missions. Office of the Ministry of Religious Affairs in a district level even have selected and send their staff to be part of the Indonesian Hajj mission. Secondly, we are fortunate that in Indonesia we have a lot of Indonesian Manasik groups or KBIHU, Kelompok Bimbingan Ibadah Haji and Umrah. We have been kindly supported by the engagement, deep involvement of Indonesian Hajj Manasik groups that spread all over the regions of Indonesia that closely interact with the pilgrims and intensely educates the potential pilgrims about Hajj rituals, about the Saudi culture, the situation that pilgrims will cope during the Hajj and so forth and so on. So this is a very helpful situation for Indonesia, especially for the government, because a lot of parties participate to underpin the operation of Hajj in the country. And the government at the same time also offer monastic training many times in the region before the departures of the pilgrims to Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Pak Hilman, we know that our President Prabowo Subianto and also and his entourage went to Saudi Arabia to meet Prince Muhammad bin Salman and to talk more about even about Hajj and Umrah implementation. Do you think that the visit of our President Prabowo Subianto also would like to negotiate maybe about the number to increase the quota of Hajj for next year, Pak Hilman?
Well, we are very glad to hear that Mr. President went to Saudi to meet His Excellency's Prime Minister Mohammed bin Salman. And we do expect that a lot of topic and strategic issues are discussed by our leaders with the Saudi Kingdom. And in relation to Hajj, I believe that this talk and meet between these two leaders from Indonesia and Saudi is very important for us. As we know that we have to improve many things in the countries. As regards to better Hajj management and to build understanding about the Saudi visions of the Hajj or the new regulations and the skill that we have to master in order to fit with the new development in Saudi Arabia. We do expect that in the near future, the Hajj economic ecosystems can also be increased in terms of quality and quantities. As we know that in the past few years, we have taken initiative to send some what we call ingredients you know, spice, Indonesian commodities and products to be used for Indonesian's pilgrims in Saudi. So what we expect is that mutual apart from mutual understanding, we can also accelerate a mutual benefits among these two countries through the Hajj management. And then, in my views, the talk is not simply about the quota. Hajj quota is one thing. But then other aspects related to the Hajj management, the economic impact, the social impacts are also important for us.
Okay. Pak Hilman, based on your calculation and even your consideration, based on the visit of President Prabowo to Saudi Arabia, actually, how many quotas or how many number of pilgrims that are really needed for Indonesia to be increased, especially for next year's quota, Pak Hilman?
I have been informed by the Minister of Hajj and Umrah that the quota will be announced officially in 10th July this month, the next few days. But the quota provided by the kingdom is also related to our capacities.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 221,000 pilgrims is a lot, no?
Yes.
So that's probably, as we have experienced before last year, Saudi government offered 20,000 quota. Last 2 years, they only gave us 8,000. But in my view, the most important thing is whatever the numbers, it should be manageable. Okay, yes. We have to consider the capacity of Asrama Haji in many provinces, the capacities of our airports, the capacities of our flight, and a lot of factors actually that have to be prepared in order to fulfill the quota in Indonesia. As I mentioned before, in the past 3 years, I witnessed that even 25,000 to 30,000 pilgrims could not pay, could not afford, you know, the Hajj cost, and additional quota is probably important. But the most important thing for me is how to manage the current quota.
Okay. Pak Hilman, this is really interesting for me to ask you more, Pak Hilman. I mean, if Saudi Arabian government increase the capacity or the number of Indonesian Hajj pilgrims or quota next year, will you also maybe such, this is also related to the readiness and even evaluation of I can say Hajj officers, Pak Hilman. Hajj officers is also important to the success of the implementation of Hajj. So how do you see about this evaluation, Pak Hilman, especially for Hajj officers for next year?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, we have recruited quite dynamics and good and performance of Hajj officer recruited from different district and different provinces. Also nationally, we announced to the public inviting the candidates from pesantren, from higher education institution, from Islamic mass organization and other groups in Indonesia, because Hajj should be inclusive, belongs to many people, belongs to many parties, belongs to many entities in the countries. So every interest groups could also send their people. not only for those who are going to work on the ground, but we also need a journalist. Okay. And I'm expecting that in the future, the RRI could also send, you know, the journalists to observe the HAJ operations. And that's the situation in recent time. But it depends on the models of HAJ management of in Saudi Arabia in the future. I heard that they will, you know, post and encourage private companies deeper in engaging HAJ management, not only G2G, government to government, but right now private companies vibrantly engage in facilitating and serving the pilgrims. That is the situation.
Okay. Pak Hilman, I'm really interested what you said before about you said before about RRI would be able to come to observe about the implementation of HAJ next year. But every year we express our gratitude, thanks for the Ministry of Religion, because every year we also send one journalist to implement to see observe about this implementation of HAJ in Saudi Arabia. So in this case, maybe based on your policy, maybe from the Ministry of Religion, would also give us maybe more chance, more than one or two journalists maybe to observe directly the implementation in Saudi Arabia, Pak Hilman.
Yeah, that also depends on the quota provided by Saudi government, right? Okay, and one is enough, two is sufficient. So, well, we invite the more diverse the background of the journalists, the better for us. And we need an equal information to be delivered for the Indonesian society. As you know, sometimes small problems that we face in Saudi could be capitalized, you know, it's irresponsibly by somebody in order to get an attention. But on the other hand, our progress, what we have done, what's kind of achievement that we have performed, very much are not published, you know, proportionally. So a balance is needed among the journalists. From our side, we have to witness some weakness. We have to witness some weakness that we have during the operations. Affecting, for example, a few groups, a few people, a few pilgrims in Saudi, but sometimes the journalists also forget the way we resolve the situation, the way we resolve the problems, the way we overcome a delicate situation, which are not proportionally published, in order to get a balanced information for Indonesia.
Okay. Well, Pak Hilman.
Anyway, thank you for your eagerness to participate and to send more than one journalist. We appreciate it.
Amin, mashallah, subhanallah. Thank you, Pak Hilman. Well, Pak Hilman, I have an information, but tell me if it is true or not. The Ministry of Religion is now discussing the idea of building a Hajj village, Kampung Haji, Pak Hilman, in Indonesia. So actually, is that correct? Or what is the concept and how would it help improve Hajj preparation?
Indonesian village or Indonesian Hajj village has been discussed many times and reinstated and re-emphasized by the current government. especially the Vice President's court, to according to the knowledge, to the best of my knowledge, has ordered some people, probably the Minister of Religious Affairs, also the Chairman of Indonesian Hajj Authority, to prepare for this. I haven't heard quite detailed information about this, and I'm not capable to answer the issues in quite detail. But I guess that the objective of preparing and building what we call the Hajj, Indonesian Hajj Village, mm-hmm. is a strategy to increase the Hajj economic ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can imagine we have to spend more than a trillion rupiahs, more than 20 trillion rupiahs annually for Hajj costs, mm-hmm. right? And this is huge money, okay? It's a amount of money. At the same time, we are quite late in regaining the benefits from this Hajj event. And therefore, you know, by increasing the capacity of Indonesian Hajj economic ecosystem, the cooperation among Indonesian Hajj companies and Saudi cooperation in investments, all in the hotels, transportations, as well as factories or meal product and so forth, sustains, you know, the economic conditions in the country, including the spending from BPKH, right? Badan Pengelola Keuangan Haji in Indonesia, Indonesian Hajj Fund Board, right? So that's a big concept. Mm-hmm. But in my views, I believe there will be a short-term project for this Indonesian Hajj Village.
Yes.
Which can be implemented on the ground by renting and occupying certain regions nearby Masjid al-Haram. So those regions can be used by Umrah pilgrims as well as Hajj pilgrims every time and every year. Medium term and long term project can be in the form of buildings, new areas in Mecca or nearby Mecca. But of course, a lot of efforts we have to spend for this, as well as a lot of money, and we will see what's going on in the near future for this project.
Okay, Pak Hilman, we have still two last question. Yes, we have still two last question. The first is, based on your calculation or estimation, is the cost of Hajj for next year increase or not? If it is increased, approximately how many percent, Pak Hilman, actually? Approximately.
Well, we cannot guess, you know, the Hajj costs. Of course, everyone expects that the cost of Hajj can be decreased, should be affordable for a nation. And I agree, and I extremely agree with this. But the fact should also be considered. The cost of fuel, the gas, the tax in Saudi Arabia, and the commodities also, the price increase. So it should be negotiated, okay? What is to be negotiated?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, of course, the models and the patterns of services.
Okay.
In the past, for example, before pandemic, the pilgrim would only have two meals in one day. Okay, makan siang and makan malam. Okay, but in the aftermath of the COVID-19, it becomes 3 times a day. Okay, so that is an option. Okay. And the second one, in the past, we could rent and use very best and huge hotels, okay, with more than, for example, 15 or 20,000 capacities. But the price is quite high. Well, it can also be option.
Mm-hmm.
We are not supposed to be too close to the mosque. we ship from the region as long as it is manageable and can be facilitated by the bus, for example. So a lot of options. The price is not simply about increase or decrease.
Okay.
The main point is what kind of services that we need to be provided for the pilgrims. And according to Islamic law, the Islamic Sharia, and Hajj is mandatory for those who are able to do so. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. For those who are able to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Istita'a here can also mean istita'a or ability to pay the cost of Hajj, ability to perform physically, which means in the good health conditions, ability to perform Hajj because of good geopolitical situation, for example. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, recently a conflict in the Middle East has a little bit interrupts the process operations of the returns of the some pilgrims and health of the flight of Indonesian two Indonesian flights. So that is example. So the main issues for us is what kind of services that we need to be provided for the Indonesian pilgrims.
Okay, finally, the last Pailman, only just short message. Maybe do you have any messages or your expectation for the sake of implementation of Hajj in 2026, Pailman?
Oh, okay. This is quite a tricky question. As you know, President Republic Indonesia, President Prabowo has set up new organizations, Indonesian Hajj Authority, BPH, Badan Penyelenggara Haji, which is projected to handle the Hajj management in the future. And we do expect that Hajj management, Hajj provisions, Hajj services for Indonesians can be better in the future.
Amen.
And of course can be managed by right men, the right place. Hajj is quite complex politically, socially and economically, and we do hope that many parties, many groups of people in the country could work together hand by hand, not being politicized, working to support the operation of Hajj. And inshallah, because for the sake of God, in order to facilitate for those who are going to pray, well, our sincerity, okay, keikhlasan kita can accelerate the better process of Hajj operation in the future.
Amin. Thank you very much, Pak Hilman Latif, for your time who has already given us clear explanation about the implementation of Hajj, especially in 2025, and we hope that the implementation of Hajj in 2026 will be much better and better than before. Thank you, Pak Hilman Atif.
Thank you so much, Pak Faisal.
Thank you, Pak Hilman. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam.
Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. You can say something about us to our email voilisteners@gmail.com and our WhatsApp number +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130. Do not forget to follow our social media accounts, Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram VOI_official. You can also listen to other VOI talks on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. Well then, listener, I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned on RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world. Padamu ku bersyukur.